Oh, it's a Monday, and everybody on talk radio today is going to be, wow, that was a quick fade. Wow.
Yeah.
That was natural.
Well, it's because it already happened at 5 o'clock, so now.
Yeah, the show opened at 5. Hope you enjoyed that first segment. That was awesome. We talked about, you know, nothing. Well, it's pretty much the same. We talked about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, Katie, and Nate, and we're all here. Everyone is, despite the fact that I had a froggy in my throat, I'm great. Nate, you seem fine.
Feeling sharp, man.
Katie, now here's the thing. Katie, on Friday, not only did she get booted out of here, but then no game for Katie.
Yeah, that's like the first
time. I don't think
time.
I've ever seen that.
Yeah.
Second time that's happened,
isn't it? Second time in like 7 years.
Yeah.
I missed a game once for a migraine, but that's about it.
Yeah. Not a urine. Yeah.
Migraine.
Yeah. That's well, good. Where are you at now? On a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being perfectly healthy, 0 being you're in the hospital.
I think I'm a lot better. I'm a lot better, so I don't know.
God.
I'm trying to this is a scale. I don't know how to answer that. Maybe 6,
okay.
7. Well, Nate, I don't know how to answer that.
I
just throw out a number and move on.
Jesus. You guys kill me, man. If you know what, if you had asked me earlier,
scale of 0 to 10, I'd say I'm a pretty good.
I hate you guys both. I'm just gonna go home now. I freaking hate both of you.
You're looking bright-eyed.
Let's see.
Thanks. Well,
bushy-tailed.
Dave just asked me to rate my health. Let's see.
Well, overall, my health is crap.
What
but
should I do?
This specific is not.
I don't know. Am I a 6? 6 is a little high.
6 out of 10?
Is that 5 is a little low? Yeah, I did have that cough yesterday morning.
I'd like to buy a vowel, Dave.
Yeah, I'll take
a vowel.
I'll take an O for, oh my God, this is a hard question. You know, I'm just going to go with, on a scale of 1 to 10, I feel pretty good. Alex? By the way, did you guys know that there's a show called, okay, I'm stupid and everybody probably knows this, but I just found it by accident yesterday. There's a show called Sports Jeopardy, hosted by Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
Did not know
I
that.
I knew that.
No idea.
Kind of. I mean, I don't like watch it, but
because it's not like the NBC Sports Network or something, which explains why it's not the Olympics, so I have no reason to watch that channel whatsoever. So it's been on during their second season.
It's one of those things where like 90% of the viewership comes on mute in a bar.
Yes,
but
yes.
You know, you're like, oh, that's Dan Pat. That kind of looks like Jeopardy. Okay,
it is. Except it's weird because they bring like they do this whole thing where it's like Price is Right. Where they announce the contestants, and they're sitting in, like, some fake booth, and then they come out of the crowd, and like, come on down, you're our number one guy, and it's just a bunch of fat dudes with weird beards.
What do you think would be more cool? Because I remember Dan Patrick always saying that he wanted to be the host of Wheel of Fortune when Pat Sajak retired. Like, he thought that was kind of like his dream job, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, that's pretty cool. What do you think would be more rad, though? Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, or, like, a third other option?
Depends on
because Jeopardy would be fun, but you've kind of got that like snooty type of like people are going to assume you're a DB. Kinda.
I think there's it depends. I think Jeopardy is the more
prestigious.
Yes, thank you. That's the exact word I was looking for. Jeopardy is more prestigious, but also more work because all Pat Sajak has to do is say 5 consonants, 1 vowel, and Jimmy spin the wheel.
Well, he's got to be funny though.
Sure, he's got to have a little bit of humor. Alex Trebek not only has to have personality, but you also think about it, you've also got to have. I guarantee you, there's a round table prep before each show where he's going through every single category and getting pronunciations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of it he's going to know through the years. By the way, I've always wanted to see this in all the years, unless I've missed it. How has Alex Trebek not been turned around? How has he not been a contestant on Celebrity Jeopardy?
Oh, wow.
That's a
good question.
I love to see.
Well, because who's going to host the show?
Bring in
Steve Harvey.
Yeah, he hosts everything.
Or Pat Sajak.
I'll bet you Alex Trebek could kick some ass at Jeopardy.
You would think.
Yes, through the years.
But here's the thing with like on-air people, and it happens all the time, even like in sports. You have a host that, or not even just host, but anyone. I mean, even like the analysts and stuff, they answer their question, and if then they turn everything off. It's like they don't take anything in. They're more concerned with their delivery and what they're going to say.
Yeah,
and then they don't really hear anything else.
I mean, I see what you're saying, and I think you're probably right in a lot of cases. I also just
wonder if it's
arbitrary, depending on the human being. Like, some people are going to have that retention more than others through just osmosis, whereas some, like you said, are just going to be like, move on. Did I have a booger? Okay, move on.
Trying to figure out which camera to look at.
Oh, did my wife call you Friday?
No, Saturday.
What?
No.
Okay. We were watching the broadcast.
Why didn't you ask me?
Because I know you or Monica didn't. When you were interviewing Chris Webber, you had like whatever you were wearing under your dress kind of sticking out on the left side. And she's like, oh my God, I hope she knows that. I got to call her and let her know.
What, like a bra strap?
Yeah. No, it wasn't a strap. It was the whatever thing.
Oh, like the little thing that you hang your dress on, like a little loop.
And she said she was going to text you.
Oh, no.
Okay. Above my pay grade, Nate. I don't know. I just taking care of some business on
personal
the
air. Personal stylist.
Yeah.
Called her. A couple of things from the weekend. Let's see. Number one, in the wrong business. And if we were smart, we would. In fact, both of these are going to involve quitting. We would quit and go rent a warehouse and get one of those bounce houses that they do for kids' birthdays.
Right.
I was there Sunday for a friend's birthday. It was sold out all day. It was completely packed. And in this facility, this giant thing of warehouses in the middle of Rockland, there's the Hardwood Palace basketball.
Yeah.
There's a soccer joint. And then there's this bounce house, whatever. I don't know what it's the Sky Zone. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
They're getting some free stuff. So they're all packed. I mean, the whole parking lot, it had to be 1,000 parking spaces, packed. And it's not cheap.
It's all indoors, too. The weather was beautiful yesterday. Come on.
No, that was the whole thing. I'm there with a bunch of kids, and it wasn't my kid's birthday. It was
Your kids were there, though, right?
I just went to a bouncy house, warehouse.
I just crashed kids' birthday parties. Hey, guys. Tom Michael Dave from KCK.
Ready to order a clown?
My goodness. Exactly. They all put on these orange socks that have these sticky stuff on the bottom so you get some traction. You got to watch these videos. And then there's this
sign a waiver in case you break your neck.
And you got this, mid-20s girl that's like the party head, the party planner who does everything, that has just the most grating voice I've ever heard of. Yeah. Whoever wants lemonade, raise your hand! Like, jeez. My God!
Come on.
Oh, my God. Like, just, I'm
cash
watching.
Cow.
That's all I'm hearing is ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. Thinking, what, it's a warehouse and some damn trampolines and a soda machine?
Yeah, I mean, is it like a bounce house or is it trampolines and stuff?
Bounce house is misleading. It's trampolines and you can like bounce off the walls are trampolini, so you can bounce off the sides. They have a section where they have some basketball hoops so you can,
Nice.
But I think they're like rubber. It's something so if you crash into them, you don't die kind of thing. But yeah, you can. There was actually a thing on ESPN a few years ago, I remember. I forget what it was called, but it was kind of like this. There were real basketball hoops, and they play games.
Slam ball.
Thank you.
I remember that.
Jeez, how old are you, Matt? Yeah.
No, I mean, I think it was on, like Spike or something for
Spike?
A little while.
It's like just, like, what, 3-4 years ago this thing was on.
It's called a trampoline park, by the way.
A trampoline park? Sorry.
It's been there forever.
Yeah, I had never been there.
Crack a little egg of knowledge on us in there.
Yeah, seriously.
I spend too much time there.
He knows all things
I feel like
adolescent.
Matt's been there.
Moana.
Right.
Freaking... What play were you in? Were you in Cinderella?
Cinderella.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know if
Cinderella.
Was it adolescent or is it just Matt's just like America's kid? You know, just
America's kid. Look
hands.
At him right now. He looks like the mouse from Cinderella with his little hoodie on. And he's back there and he's dancing.
Probably like a first date for Matt would be the trampoline place followed by.
I want to embarrass myself.
Malteds.
Malted.
I'm going to take you to get a Frosty.
The second thing, by the way.
Go on down to the Tasty Freeze.
Might be my last week here. I don't want to break this on the air, but might be my last Monday.
Buy a lottery ticket?
No, not even that bit. a while ago, because I was stupid and didn't cover it up, I left my Traeger in the rain, and it busted it a little, so I had to order a bunch of parts that I got about 6 months ago.
Oh, you still haven't put that together?
Well, actually, I put it together yesterday. I put it together completely by myself. myself, 100% by myself. Everything. Took the whole thing apart, put it back together, wired it all up, and actually barbecued some hamburgers last night. So what I the reason I bring it up is I may just quit and go open my own mechanical service.
That's probably not a good idea.
What I did yesterday is I manned it. And I manned and I fixed it like a man. And then
manned
I
it.
Congratulations.
Some burgers like a man.
Congratulations. And move that to the top of your resume.
Grease on my face. So woman, get in and make some macaroni salad to go with these burgers.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it's usually the woman in my house that fixes everything else. Morning Brew is next. We got Jim Less of the UC Davis Joe. Aggies. They're dancing, and we're going to talk to him about that. That's at 7:30. Morning Brew is next. We'll tell you all the things we're Joe. Doing on this fine, fine Monday. Just like David Lee Roth right there. Sports 1140 KSTK. That is James Boeheim.
Boeheim.
He is the coach of the Oh, God, shut up. Hold on.
Who is it that, what city has spoke out against him?
Greensboro.
Yes, Greensboro.
You're losing the first round anywhere. Yes.
Sorry.
No, please.
Did anyone notice that who Syracuse is playing in the first round of the NIT?
No.
UNC Greensboro.
Okay.
No way. That is so funny.
Nope. Well done, selection committee. UCLA is coming to Sacramento along with Oregon. Oregon will play Iona. That's a 3-14. UCLA gets also a 3 seed. They'll face number 14, Kent State, amongst
others. That's really,
others.
I mean, it's interesting how they make those decisions on who goes where because... That's
Creighton, Rhode Island,
super
and
super close for both of those teams.
Yeah, it's
that doesn't usually happen in the first round.
It's so goofy how they do it. You have teams that are in the West playing in the East, and then the Eastern regionals are in the West, and you know.
And why do they split it up? Like, I don't understand the whole brat. Like, why do they split? Why isn't Creighton and Rhode Island, Oregon and Iona playing in one spot, and Cincinnati? You know what I'm
they
saying?
Are.
What do you mean?
Like the,
so it's like how many teams in the first? Is there 8 teams? There's 2 brackets.
No, there's wait, what?
How many teams are playing in Sacramento?
That would be
18.
So it's both those. So how do they decide that?
That's a selection committee. They come up with the seeds and then they put them wherever. And Duke is usually within 10 miles of their campus. Uh-huh. I don't think Duke's ever played west of North Carolina except in the Final Four. we're trying to make sense of what the NCAA does. That's not a smart idea. Bottom line is much more on this. The NCAA brackets are out. Seeds are out. Your brackets will all be in your inboxes today. So much gambling will be happening, and UC Davis is in, and UC Davis head coach Jim Less will join us here at 7:30.
Yeah.
So there's that, and we'll have a fine, fine day of talking about the NCAA.
Oh, that is Gary Gerald with the smooth tones talking about an 8-game losing streak for the Kings. I hadn't even really thought about it. I knew that they were on a losing streak, and I knew it was an extended losing streak, but for some reason, through this 8-game losing streak, I haven't been that upset about it. Is that weird? Because
no.
They're and not for your reasons, no. Dave. For the worse you are, the better the lottery ball thing. They've been entertaining. They're playing hard. They're in games, and I'm like, you know what? When it comes down to like same thing as San Antonio. Like they're playing teams that know how to close out games
right.
And know how to win. Like they can get up 28 points to San Antonio or what. You know, it doesn't matter.
They don't have closers.
This team
on this
doesn't
team.
Have closers right now, but they play really hard. I've seen some really good things. I think in my mind, I am choosing to focus on positive things. Or else I will just, explosion, like, poof, it'll
yeah.
be done.
Part of it that has to be the relief of lowered expectations, of knowing that there's not that max player on the roster that can be a scapegoat of, hey, we lost, like, why isn't this guy getting it done? You know, now that that's not there anymore, it's just kind of like, oh, how cute, they're moving the ball, and
right.
oh, they got a big lead, oh, man, neato. And then they lose, because they don't have a dude, and I'm fine with that, largely.
We're doing a thing at my house where, starting on Saturday, we're starting to up the level of chores that my kids do.
Oh.
And so for the first time ever Saturday night, my daughter, who is 9, got to do the dishes on her own. And she finished them, and then I went around behind her and took half of them out of the dishwasher and redid them and washed and dried them. And I bring that up only to underline why we're not upset. Because this Kings team, they're the equivalent of a 9-year-old girl in the NBA. They're not good, and we know that. Whether if DeMarcus Cousins were still on this team, and we expected them to make a run at the playoffs, we'd be talking about firing any one of the following: Vlade, Jaeger, Vivek. If you had the same results that the Kings have had over the last 8 games, but in effect, by trading DeMarcus Cousins and planning on the future. They're a 9-year-old child in the NBA that really has no business being on the same floor. And any time they show
– Do you think they're playing well, though?
I think that there are things much like, hey, that white plate is really clean, sweetheart. Good job. Like, I'm – something that I would expect out of myself or my wife because we're trained adults. I don't expect out of her. And I know that this experience is going to pay off down the road for my daughter when she's doing the dishes when she's older. It's the same thing. You get excited about the small things because you know in your mind probably down the road it's going to pay off for them as they mature. But right now they're not an NBA team.
There's something that you said about the relief of lowered expectations.
That's exactly right.
That's an interesting way to put it.
100%. Well, nothing. My way was an interesting one.
Well, I like both ways, but like those two come together really well.
Thank you, Katie.
I take it back. Your way was great.
That's Steve Kerr. That Spurs and Warriors matchup we were all looking forward to turned into the great Matt Barnes-Dwayne Dedman showdown of 2017. Nobody played in that because LaMarcus Aldridge is dealing with a heart issue.
That's Kawhi Leonard, scary.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard's in concussion protocol. And so the Warriors are like, well, we're going to go ahead and rest our guys, too. And the best
and
part.
Did you mention LaMarcus Aldridge? I'm sorry. I was
yeah.
About, okay.
The best part about that was seeing all the pictures of the depressed Warriors fans, children, like sitting in the stands in San Antonio, getting their tickets for Christmas or birthday or something like that, wearing Steph Curry jerseys.
Did you see the pictures of all of them in the memorabilia in the team shop pouring through San Antonio Spurs jerseys to put on?
No way.
You know, generally how the Warriors fans would react.
Jeez.
Yeah, we'll get into this later because it is a thing, and it's like new, but it's not new. Like, it's been going on for a long time, but you're right. These people travel from far and wide to see the Cavs and the Spurs, the Warriors and the Spurs. This is
DNP
a big
rest.
It's a huge matchup late in the season to arguably the two best or two of the three best teams in the NBA, and it ends up being a turd fest.
This is something that fans get furious about, and I understand. I do understand. But can we concede one thing?
No.
Steve Kerr is maybe the, like, anything he says, regardless of how, like, fiery the situation, you're like, oh, you know what? Yeah, you know, it's okay. I get it. I understand.
Wokest coach in the league.
He has that ability to really, like, connect with people and be like, you know what? I understand his point of view.
I think people flock to him. I think people naturally look at Steve
like Greg
Kerr.
Popovich. They ask him about rest. It's going to be like, I do what I want. You know what I mean? Like, he's abrasive. Steve Kerr is just, you know, he's nice and kind. And, you know, people are like, oh, forgiving.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
The Morning Brew is presented by McDonald's.
Hey!
Yeah. Enjoy new McCafe macchiatos, cappuccinos, or Americanos at McDonald's this week only. Try any small, just $1 each. Price participation may vary for a limited time.
We're loving it.
I'm loving it.
All right, we'll take a break. When we get back, just 3 minutes away, brackets, brackets, brackets. Why this is the best time of the year. Maybe it isn't for you, but hey, it is for me. And number one seeds in Sacramento involved, and gee golly, you can be a Kings scout if you want. That's next in The Drive. Hey, Sports 1140 Cage to Key. Welcome back to The Drive. Event Sevenfold tickets will be yours in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll do a little text to win at 8:40. Yeah, you heard Scotty the Body, our very own Scott Marsh, on the call.
No,
for
you
the
didn't.
UC Davis Aggies.
Scotty the Body.
Scotty the Body Marsh. Yeah, you heard, that's his name, Scotty the Body Marsh.
I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, my goodness. Here's more Scotty the Body. So there you go, UC Davis. Jim Les will join us later in the program. UC Davis will go down. How about that? Good for you.
Where are they headed?
UC Davis. Oh, it's somewhere. God, I had
Dayton.
It too. Dayton.
Ah.
Yeah.
Shouldn't there be a rule, though, that if you get an automatic entry because you win your conference tournament, you don't have to play in the first four? You don't have to play in those stupid opening. That's a load.
And shouldn't they put them in Sacramento?
Seriously.
You know, I know you have to have a one seed to do it, but put them in. Come on, guys. I know that the selection committee has far greater things to worry about than where UC Davis is playing.
But I mean, well, at the very least, I mean, it just drives me crazy, those play-in games anyway. If you get an automatic berth, you should be in the tournament.
I agree. Yeah.
And they keep trying to sell these games to us as being part of the tournament, and they're not.
It's disrespectful to conferences to do that. It really is. I don't care what conference you're from. If you win your conference, and that's the thing. You know, I played in the Big West, and this is before they had these, like, play-in games or whatever, and the women's side was a lot stronger than the men's side, and I don't know what the case is now with the Big West. UC Davis wasn't in our conference at the time, but we had to pick up an incredibly difficult non-conference schedule before conference play started to try and up our turn. And it's tough for these small conferences to do that. And then, you like UC Davis, you win it outright, and then you get jobbed like this?
I mean,
jeez.
I mean, it's, I don't know.
You think it's okay?
Here's why.
Okay. See, I mean, we agree on this, and Dave's like,
but here's why. And anything goes in the tournament. Anything goes in the tournament. So don't get me wrong. And I'm really not, listen, this is a big time for local pride, and I'm all about local pride. But, I mean.
But you're not right now.
They're kind of a Division I conference.
That's so not true.
I mean,
that's not a fair way to look at it.
Okay, let me ask you this: Do you think they're one of the top 64 teams in the NCAAs?
It doesn't matter.
I think it kind of does. I don't think UC Davis is a top 64 team. I think UC Davis got an automatic berth, and that's awesome. But I'm saying, if you took all the ACC, all the Big 12, all the Big 10. Because a lot of times those teams aren't going to make it because you've got three teams or four teams from the ACC or the SEC. And I'm a huge fan of the little guy. Don't get me wrong. So I kind of feel guilty saying this. But in reality, Pac-12, Big 12, Big 10, ACC, you put all of them together with all the other teams. Some of these little schools
get in. They shouldn't
even
have the plan. They shouldn't. Well, I mean, you just, if you.
I like the idea of more of a chance for a little guy to get in.
But it's that has nothing to do with this. This is just TV money coming down to it. It's another freaking game that they can throw on.
That's true.
TV or whatever the hell channel they.
I don't think it's mutually
exclusive. They air it on all these other freaking stations now. It's like.
It's easy.
It's the NCAA wanting to make more money. That's all it is. It's like, if you win your conference tournament, you get an automatic berth, period. You should be in the top 64.
But what if you're in,
that's how it's set.
But what if you're in the Midwest, Southeast, Northwest, state, conference? I mean, great, but are you better than seven ACC teams? Are you better? And it should be that way. It should be. That's how we get Cinderella's. It should. That's one of the neat things about the tournament.
Seven ACC, you know what I'm saying?
But you don't. But my point is, that's part of the payback is, odds are, if you're one of the tiny schools in, you're not a top 64 team. But because of how it's set up, you're in, and you deserve it. And that is awesome. And they might, they're not going to upset the number one team. But they might, sometimes you get a three that gets upset or a two that gets upset. My point is that I think that's the payback, is that the smaller schools are going to get screwed a little bit. They're going to get passed over a little bit as far as location, who they play, et cetera. But they get to go to the dance. And that's how you build up recruiting. Now Jim Less next year.
Yeah, but
year.
See, I mean, do they? Because
are they?
My whole thing is the play-in game, period. Like, I can get past the, hey, send them to Dayton, whatever. Those be the breaks when you're a 16 seed, okay?
Yeah.
They had an RPI of 178. All right.
We're talking about who?
Yeah. Davis.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But if you're going
put them up against a one seed,
right.
I have no problem with that.
But if you get an automatic berth, there are eight teams playing in this first four round, okay? Mm-hmm. You're telling me there are not eight at-large power conference teams? Let them fight for the scraps, okay? If you're a smaller school and you get an automatic berth, you're in, dude. You get to go to the real tournament. That's the way.
I'd also won't be your only chance to win an NCAA tournament game.
Well,
I mean, is it
how are you going to feel when you're in Dayton and everyone else is like gets to be in I don't know, Golden One Center, one of the top venues in the country.
Yeah, no, it's not a perfect solution. I don't know. I have a hard time thinking of the small schools.
I say let the big guys fight out those first four games.
You'd rather have the big conference guys who are playing bigger teams, tougher competition all year long. You'd rather have them in that situation than a small school that really in the big picture shouldn't be there on skill alone.
Yeah.
They're getting in. They
don't know that until the games are played.
That's very true. And you see that every year. And this is not about UC. I mean, Christ, we're having Jim Less on at 7:30.
If you're in Davis's situation, you're thinking to yourself, or at least I would be, listen, first you're happy that you're in to some degree.
Yes.
But what more do you have to do? Like, you still have to win one more game to get into the tournament. The promise was you win the conference tournament, you're in. And now what? Like, you did that.
Right.
And you still have to go to Dayton to win one more game just to get into the...
If you're asking what more you have to do is you have to schedule and win some pretty decent out-of-conference games. You have to get that strength to schedule up. You can only play in the conference that you're in, but you build up your recruit. Like Jim Less next year.
Well, and it's like a backhanded promise. Those SEC teams that do schedule weaker opponents, they don't play a tough non-conference schedule.
But they play in the ACC.
Exactly.
So you're
playing
Duke and North Carolina and Louisville.
You have that strength to schedule in the conference play.
Right.
So you can, but that's the reality for small schools.
That's the teeter-totter.
Small conferences.
If you play in a crap conference, you've got to schedule. You've got to go out of conference, and you've got to win a couple. If you play in a great conference, then you have a little bit more
leeway.
You
know what's crazy, though? Seriously, the NCAA, how they do this, because, yes, we played in the Big West, right, mm-hmm. college. We were a top 25 team every single year I was there. We were even a top 10 team, and you still get jobbed. You still get the horrible free – like, you get overlooked, and it's not just – UC Davis, like there's a number of teams that got, what was it, Wichita State, that just absolutely, they continue to screw them.
That's tough, though, too, because, again, and you see this in college football a lot of times, it's like sometimes, and I'm not talking about your team, but sometimes you see these smaller conference schools get in the top 25. Because people look at the and go, oh, my God, they're 17-2.
No, but we were playing horrendously difficult out-of-conference schedules
If you're playing out of conference and you're winning,
and
then
we
good.
And we were kicking their
Jim Less, and we'll talk to him at 7:35. He's now going to have the ability. Let's just assume UC Davis is going to lose to the one seed they play, if they even get there. He's going to be able to go into people's living rooms next year and be like, hey, we're an up-and-coming
team. It does help.
We were in the dance last year. We plan on being back there next year. It's a tremendous recruiting tool for him and for UC Davis. Congratulations to him and to all the Aggies and to Scott Marsh on the call as well. We'll take a break. When we come back, everybody was very upset about that game. What was it? That game.
It was supposed to be a game. Yeah. It didn't turn out being a game.
Everybody's pissed about the Warriors and the Spurs, and everybody sat down and yada, yada, yada. Now we're back on – this is back on the burner now, the front burner. We have figured out, is there a solution? Let's solve it right now.
It's 6:43, time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys, it's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento.
How do you fix sitting stars in the NBA? We'll try to figure it out in 4 minutes in the Drive Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, welcome back on a fine Monday. Hopefully none of you are waking up going, oh my God, it's actually 6:50, not 5:50. Hope you did the old daylight savings time, unlike us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
KHDK did not observe daylight savings time this morning.
It's nice that it happens on a Saturday, technically.
You get a day.
Or I guess it's technically Sunday because it's at 2 a.m.
Yeah, but it's Saturday. Come on.
It's not happening on a work day. I remember growing up, we used to always mess it up for church. Always. We'd show up an hour late for church.
Dude, that was the
we were there for
best
pancakes.
Sunday of the year. I remember just laying in bed and like the irony of this, but laying in bed and praying that my parents would mess it up so that I didn't have to go to church.
Yeah.
Go every Sunday.
Yeah, like that was actually once we got into high school, the rule was like we were pretty much free to do what we wanted on Saturday night as long as we made it to church on Sunday morning. You got to, you know, pat grandma on the shoulder as you go by for communion, let her know.
That's the thing about being raised Catholic, right? It doesn't matter what
it's
you
all
do
good
all
as long
week
as you
long,
repent.
But Sunday you better damn be in that pew.
I never had that problem. The only times I ever went to church was when I spent the night at a friend's house and they had to go to church. And then I went.
I mean,
that was always a fun
your parents
one.
Are two different faiths, right?
Yes,
so
they are.
That would be difficult to maneuver.
Yes, they are. Yeah. My father is a German Christian and my mother is a Jew. So that was, you know, kind of a thing. I mean, anyone have a comment on that?
Now I understand why you're so conflicted in your head.
Oh, man.
That's how I was raised. Woo! 107-85 Spurs over the Warriors in what should have been a showdown of titans. And it wasn't
at all.
Boy, the Warriors. Hey, remember that guy on the show that was like, I don't think the Warriors are going to miss a beat without Kevin Durant.
Oh, man.
Wrong.
They have struggled.
What's wrong with Steph Curry, you guys? I mean, he's got career low shooting percentages by far. And I mean, you know, looking back at last year, it was always a tough ask for him to sustain the level he played at last year, especially adding a guy like Kevin Durant. But I mean, was that peak Steph Curry?
Like, coming up at 8:05, is he the NBA's version of a match?
I know. Is he done?
Is he done? Steph Curry done?
No, but I mean, I think you're seeing a bit of a regression here, just in terms of last year was so far above any level that we've seen in terms of like shooting percentages and stuff like that. He's down this year, and if you split the 2 years, it kind of is in line with his career averages. But he's only shooting 40% from 3-point this year.
Oh, man.
What did I see? That the Warriors are in the bottom 20 in offensive efficiency this month, and the Cavs are in the bottom 20 in defensive efficiency this month. How about Ian Clark with 36 points for the Warriors on Saturday?
Isn't that crazy?
Last guy off the bench goes for 36 and 34 minutes, slightly better than Patrick McCaw, who started, played 42 minutes, and was 0 of 12.
Whoa.
I don't know if I've ever seen that line before.
Dude.
He played a game high 42 minutes and was 0 of 12, 0 of 6 from behind the arc, was 2 of 2 from the free throw line.
Okay.
2 points, 2 boards.
Who is this?
1 assist, Patrick McCaw. About that?
If the ball is round, get it on the rim.
My goodness.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's a rough outing.
Matt, he got to the free throw line once.
Yeah, how about that?
Didn't really do much else.
Oh,
huh?
Matt Barnes is 14 points. And, you know, listen, the Spurs.
2-7 from long. That was brutal.
So the Spurs won, and they beat the Warriors, and yeehaw for all that, and that's fine. And the bottom line here is that both Kerr and Popovich decided to do the rest, basically because they're both the same person. Like, Steve Kerr is basically Diet Greg Popovich. They're the same guy.
Diet.
They're the same freaking guy, just Kerr's younger. They both rested everybody.
What's so crazy about it is last season when they were chasing 73, they didn't rest anybody.
No.
They didn't rest anybody.
The Spurs currently a half game behind the Warriors for the one seed.
Do you think part of that rest maybe came from the fact of what you were just talking about, Nate, with how poorly Steph Curry's numbers have been lately, that he's looking at it and saying, okay, he needs rest. Hopefully it's just a fatigue thing and it's nothing more serious.
That's kind of what I started thinking is, like, you'll see that in baseball and in soccer too. Like, when you've got a team that is just, they're not really meeting expectations. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just shake it up a little bit.
And sometimes you need a mental rest.
Exactly. Just like, you know what, dude, why don't you have a seat for a game? Watch things from a different perspective, and maybe that'll kind of hit the reset button a little bit. I mean, I don't know.
And maybe to see your team lose so badly. Uh-huh. It's like, okay, I have to be better. Mm-hmm. They need me to. I mean, it's without. Well, and they rested 4 guys.
Yeah.
Even Greg Popovich has never rested 4 guys.
He'll do his 3. He'll do his big 3. Leave somebody in there. And so when we get back, here's what we'll do. We got a number of things on the old table here. God, I got it. Dude, these pop-up ads are killing
me.
It's not me. It's these pop-up ads. I'm sitting.
I get it.
I've had this computer. I play some sounds out of my computer.
Because I've never sat in that chair. So do you have to, like, mute it every single time?
Matt probably muted it before I did. But, yeah, I went and I muted the ad. I'll have my computer's volume up. I play sounds out of the computer, like a lot of the clips and stuff you hear from this computer. And so I've had this web page open for a while now. This is something we'll talk about when we get back. Could Ty Lawson's career be over? We'll talk to you about Michael McCann's article, who says maybe it could be. So I've got that open, and all of a sudden, pop-up ad, get a shake it, steak and shake. And I don't, you know.
Shake and bake.
So we'll get to this. It's a big. This is a big game for the Kings tonight, and I'm not joking. This is a big game for, yes, they're playing Orlando. Mm. And it's one of the biggest games of the rest of the year. We'll tell you why, and no, that's not some dumb radio tease. We'll give you real reasons why it's a huge game.
No, it's the first game of the rest of the season.
Well, there's that. Ty Lawson's career, could it be over? Michael McCann thinks it's a possibility from Sports Illustrated. We'll tell you about that. And I have I want to introduce a possible solution for you guys to break down and hopefully build off of when it comes to resting multiple star players during the regular season. We'll take a break. Come back in 3 minutes on The Drive. Sports 1140, KHDK.